dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church remembers the great theologian and philosopher, priest and doctor of the Church, St. Thomas Aquinas, who belonged to the Mendicant Order of the Dominicans. He lived in the 13th century. He was born about 1225 or 1226. And from a young age, he had the inspiration to become a Dominican. His noble family thought that was beneath him. And when they acquiesced to his idea of becoming a religious, they would only accept it if he became a Benedictine. And he lived near Monte Cassino, and so they thought, well, you know, maybe someday at least he'll be the abbot of Monte Cassino. So they let him begin his studies with the Benedictines. At a certain point, however, he was determined to go to the Dominicans, and the family took him hostage, and they even tried to dissuade him from religious life, hoping to corrupt his intentions by sending a prostitute to his room to seduce him. When St. Thomas realized what was happening, he took a burning log or stick from the fireplace and chased her out, and then traced a cross on the wall. Shortly after, he fell asleep and he had a dream, and he was presented by angels with a cord saying that never would his virtue again be tested, and his confessor, who heard his general confession on his deathbed, attests to the fact that he never did, was incontinent and never lost the grace of virginity. So he is eminent in that virtue of chastity and purity. His great fame, perhaps, is due more to his contributions in terms of theology. He's the author of the Summa Theologica, which is a perennial reference for theologians, for Catholic theologians. He's as relevant today as ever, and the popes in recent times continue to point to St. Thomas as a solid foundation for doing theology. We're living through a period of heresy that has much of a strong foothold in the Church. It's called the heresy of modernism. It was denounced soundly and thoroughly by St. Pius X, and the attempt was made to cleanse the Church of this heresy. However, it continues to have great influence. And one of the problems with this heresy is its philosophical foundations are unsound. St. Thomas based his theology on a philosophy of metaphysics, of logic, the fundamental science of right reason. And he's considered to be the epitome or one of the very brightest lights of the scholastic age, which was the age that accomplished the synthesis, the integration of all human knowledge into one coherent system of understanding. And so it's called realism. Realism, it's based on reality, not ideas, but on observations of what actually happens in reality. Metaphysics was part of Aristotle's development of philosophy. So it's an ancient philosophy with a long history that St. Thomas took and then used to deepen understanding of divine revelation, which is what theology is. It's faith-seeking understanding. One of the other principles of theology that today is not practiced and not understood is the absolute necessity to begin from the point of view of faith. You can't do theology beginning with doubt and trying to come to faith. No, you have to begin with faith. And we believe what the church teaches. We believe the sacred scripture. And we can try to deepen our understanding by using the instruments of reason. So, in the effort to overcome modernism, the church continually refers back to the solid philosophy and theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. He was referred to by Pope Leo XIII in the encyclical Aeternae Patris, again very recently by Pope St. John Paul II in the encyclical Fides et Ratio, which means faith and reason. There's a whole section dedicated to St. Thomas, the enduring originality of the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. And I'll just read to you a little bit from this. Thomas had the great merit of giving pride of place to the harmony which exists between faith and reason. Both the light of reason and the light of faith come from God, he argued. Hence, there can be no contradiction between them. More radically, Thomas recognized that nature, philosophy's proper concern, could contribute to the understanding of divine revelation. Faith, therefore, has no fear of reason, but seeks it out and has trust in it. Just as grace builds on nature and brings it to fulfillment, so faith builds upon and perfects reason. Illumined by faith, reason is set free from the fragility and limitations deriving from the disobedience of sin and finds the strength required to rise to the knowledge of the triune God. This is why the church has been justified in consistently proposing St. Thomas as a master of thought and a model of the right way to do theology. We've been warned, even in sacred scripture, by the apostles of the time that would come when people would no longer want to hear the truth, but would be itching for novelties. We're also warned to not be led astray by any strange teachings. And yet we see so many of our brothers and sisters today precisely falling prey to these temptations. St. Peter even says that as far as sacred scripture is concerned, he said, no prophecy, it's given to no man to interpret prophecy privately, but it's the church that properly interprets the sacred scripture. And the church consistently points to St. Thomas as a solid model of theology based on metaphysical realism in philosophy, right reason. And so let us pray, brothers and sisters, in this time of great confusion in the church for a return to sound theology, that the point of departure of which is faith, and then seeks to understand using right reason. And especially now, in this time of turbulence and confusion, within less than a month, the bishops with the Pope will gather in Rome to try to address the abuse crisis. Let us invoke St. Thomas and his virtue of holiness. He was a saint, and that's the more important thing. In fact, he was ready to burn all of his writings after he had a mystical experience. Near the end of his life, God spoke to him. One of the things he said is, Thomas, you have written well of me. And then when he was celebrating Mass once, he had some experience. Exactly what, didn't come across any record of that, but the consequence of that experience was he never wrote again. In the middle of the third part of the Summa Theologica, he just stopped writing. because he felt probably that his words just fell short of the reality once he had that experience. So let us invoke this great saint whose love for Christ was so great, whose contribution to the church was great and is considered perennial. It's a permanent philosophy. Let us invoke his intercession for our shepherds today, that they may see clearly through the errors of our time and return to the sound theology that St. Thomas left as a legacy for Christianity. Praise be Jesus and Mary.